Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. What do you do when you can't sleep? Medication? Late night TV? Read a book? I wonder honestly now, how many of us consider the inability to sleep is perhaps a wake-up call from God, and actually we seek to find a quiet place to read God's Word and pray, ready to hear something new and fresh from the Holy Spirit. Does that sound spiritually radical? Do you know that sometimes kings and presidents can't sleep? Let's return to the remarkable story of Queen Esther. You'll recall yesterday we watched as she invited King Xerxes and Haman to a banquet, and then at that banquet invited them back again the next day for a second banquet. The day and night in between those two banquets was very significant for many, many people then and today. For Haman, as we saw yesterday, it was the day he determined Mordecai must die. He had an execution device built, and he prepared to ask the king for Mordecai's head the next day. For King Xerxes, the record tells us he had difficulty sleeping. That night, King Xerxes could not sleep, so he ordered the books of the Chronicles, the record of his kingly reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed two of the king's guards who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. Esther chapter 6. I wonder how often you take time to reflect with any degree of depth over the journey of your life. Do you have journals which tell the story of your life, which sometimes you take out and read? As you reflect on your life journey, what do you focus on? Good times and victories, or bad times and failures or crises? Do you focus on events or relationships with people? I find it to be a very healthy, challenging, and learning experience to, from time to time, pause and reflect in depth on the journey of life I've walked. I especially like looking for the evidence God was at work guiding the circumstances of my life. If you don't do that, may I challenge you to consider its value? Suddenly, it appears King Xerxes was realizing something very significant in the story of his reign that had been left undone. So the king asks an important question of his record keepers. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? Nothing has been done for him, was the sad but accurate response. That is evidence of why a reflection on your life is a very healthy thing to do from time to time. We tend to rush on through life, leaving the past in the past, not learning from our past lessons, nor assuring that we are not leaving open, unfinished business as we rush on in life. Suddenly, the king felt a deep conviction in his soul. He realized it was very likely he was alive because this assassination plot had been discovered and thwarted. King Xerxes was a man of action, and his conviction was so great it could not wait till morning. The record reports something very significant occurred in that moment. Listen carefully and watch for the direct involvement of God. The king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had erected for this. The king's attendants answered, "Haman is standing in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?" Esther chapter 6. Oh my, what a strategic, history-making moment. We know Haman was diabolical and arrogant and self-advancing. While normally quite aware of all that was going on around him, in this case, of course, Haman was oblivious, having no idea what had transpired just prior to his arrival. I have no doubt each and all of us have found ourselves in situations similar to this. We assume, or we presume, what someone else is thinking, and we consider manipulating the situation with our questions or comments in hopes the other person will respond the way we want and the situation will turn to our benefit. Do you see these times as profoundly complex spiritual battles? Do we understand the Holy Spirit of God is always seeking to guide God's people to right choices, God-honoring decisions, which will lead to God's purposes being accomplished for God's glory and the good of God's people? Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 1. Do we also understand the dark kingdom is always working, in all circumstances, to oppose God, God's truth, God's ethics, God's plans and purposes, and even God's people? Haman showed his true colors in that moment. Assuming the king was speaking about wanting to honor Haman, Haman advised the king, "For the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, a horse with a royal crest on its head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the king's horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, 'This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor.'" Esther chapter 6. I imagine Haman had a big smile on his face as he spoke, and he was preparing himself for one of the most joyful, honoring, egotistical experiences of his life, fully confident this wonderful recommendation would be followed by the king and applied to Haman. Nothing could have prepared Haman for the words which came out of King Xerxes' mouth, directed to Haman in that moment. "Go at once," the king commanded Haman. "Get the robe and the horse, and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended." Esther chapter 6, verse 10. I imagine Haman bowed so the king could not see the astonished look on his face. Perhaps Haman left the presence of the king quickly, with anger boiling inside him. I wonder if he found a quiet place outside the courtyard to pause and think and try to figure out how to do as the king had instructed him, but at the same time, what to do with his rage. Let's pause with him. What has just happened here, my friends? The king's sleeplessness has totally turned upside down the evil plans of Haman. This course of action would totally enhance Mordecai's future in the king's eyes and his respect among the officials at the king's gate. How do you respond when suddenly your best prepared plans are undermined or crushed by something you could not have imagined? Do you see the powerful spiritual battle taking place here with humble, faithful Mordecai and arrogant, wicked Haman? What do you sense the Holy Spirit showing you in this remarkable situation? No song today, just reflection, and I'll meet you here tomorrow.